dive into the dazzling depths of the ocean, where a spiky sovereign slinks silently across coral castles, whispering secrets through an invisible ink of proteins. This prickly predator, a veritable porcupine of the sea, rules the reef with a chemical charisma that would make even the most stoic fish blush. Its vibrant veneer hides a cunning communicator, passing messages like a Marine Morse code master, all while wreaking havoc on coral communities. Prepare to be pricked by curiosity, like the crown of thorn starfish here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. A very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a starfish that the Jester stole. But more on that later.
The Jester. I was just watching a documentary on the court jester and how unenviable of a position that was.
Really?
I mean, you got to say whatever. You were the only one who had freedom of speech in the whole kingdom, besides the king. But also, if the king did not like what you said, you actually didn't have freedom of speech. So, interesting stuff. Also, you had to wear motley. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the Crown of Thorns starfish.
Yeah, it is a sight to behold.
The Jester stole his thorny crown.
Oh, is this a reference to something I don't know about?
Yes, it's American Pie, the song.
Oh, yeah, I know the Weird Al Yankovic version of that song, and then the chorus of the main song. And that is it.
Oh, man. We listened to that all the time as kids because it was like kind of like the whole thing was like, what do these things mean? It's all alluding to stuff in the 20th century.
Yeah, but Weird Al Yankovic came out with the version that was about Star Wars right when Star Wars was at its peak in my life. So it's like, yeah, the one I'm going to remember is my Mr. Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, but now he's just a small fry.
I was never that big into Weird Al, except for the song Albuquerque I really liked.
I wasn't big into Weird Al either, but that was just the version that we all sang because it was more interesting than whatever was happening in the actual American Pie song to a, 9-year-old. But anyway, yeah. This is a Crown of Thorns starfish, but we're going to call it here the Pontius Pilate's Protein Pen Pal and Thy Chemical Bromance. TCB.
I don't understand the last one, but do you know what science calls this thing?
I do, but I just want to hear you say it.
All right, I'll struggle through this Latin / Greek, potentially. The kingdom is one that you know, love, and are in. It's the kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Echinodermata. We haven't been here in a while. The class is Asteroidae. It's an asteroid. That's what a species is. It's Kirby.
Is Kirby an asteroid? Kirby's That's good to know because I have a Kirby toy. I know nothing about Kirby, and my son just asks me constant questions about it because it's with a bunch of Pokemon toys. So I think as a kid, I thought he was a Pokemon for a little bit, and then he just made it into that box. And so now that those toys have been passed down, he's like, oh, what's this? I'm like, that's Kirby. What does he do? I think he's a balloon. I don't know where he comes from. I don't know anything about him.
Kirby lore is surprisingly like, it's basically like Bloodborne. Like it's deep and dark.
It's dark.
Fear the old like balloon. The old ones.
there was a curse that turned people into party balloons, and they had to, you know, siphon blood out of people in order to heal it. That would get dark.
Anywho. Oh yeah, I guess we're still doing
Asteroidiae.
The order is Velvatidae.
Velvatida?
Yeah, Velveeta. It's cheese.
Ooh, that's yummy.
The family is Acanthasteridae. And the genus is Acanthaster. The species is Acanthaster planky. It's because Plancy. Yeah. Planky's funny.
Plancy Fry.
Tom yeah. Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
Well, yeah. Planky was definitely like a placeholder name for everyone's favorite character from Ed, Edd n Eddy, and it more or less stuck. Mm-hmm. But yeah, since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature? Just love leaning into that taxonomy. And in this case, that is the Acanthaster or Acanthaster. Maybe that's what it is. Plancy. So Acanthaster plancy. What does that mean in English? Does it mean A, flat-footed thorny star, B, ancient spike planes, C, slow-moving star, or D, pliable wanderer?
Slow-moving star, final answer?
That is incorrect. The answer is flat-footed thorny star. Plancy, Plancus, comes from Plancus, is a Roman surname, and it means flat-footed. And acanth is a root for spiky, and aster is star, like astrology.
I didn't know any... Yeah, aster. I should have known that. I didn't know any of the words, except for, like, I guess I should have known plantar fasciitis, you know, bottom of your foot, plancy.
Yeah, some flat something for that. Plain. But yeah, there's no way to know that, like, acanth means, like, spiny, but there were, I put a few spikes and stars in there. The stars and spikes. shall wave. But yeah, flat-footed thorny star. And it's nice. It's not a misnomer.
True.
It makes sense.
Well, speaking of that, do you want to know what it looks like?
Yes.
It's like a clown wig come to life, only spikier. There are so many different kinds of things. Like, if you look at pictures of this, there's many different variations of color and the vagueness of shape. It's a starfish, but if you're thinking of like the a Patrick, starfish, it's not that. It's got multiple, it's not five arms, it's like maybe a dozen. And it's covered in spike, more like an urchin. It's like an urchin with arms. But it's distinctive. It's got a disc-shaped body with 10 to 21 radiating arms covered in sharp venomous spikes that resemble thorns. Looks like a bramble bush, but colorful. It varies widely from reddish to purple to green to gray, but often bright with warning colors to deter predators. Unless you're deep enough, in which there is no color. But yeah, it's a starfish. It's got no face. It looks like a bit of the coral reef that's on the move.
Yeah, large starfish are unnerving. They pose no threat. But just this faceless, unthinking mouth
that's with tentacles. What it is.
That just wants to climb over you and digest you from the outside in. It's a very unnerving concept.
It doesn't want that. It doesn't want anything. It just does that. It just is.
Well, it is driven to do that.
It is driven.
To go to things indeed. and digest them. Crawl over them and digest them.
Yeah.
Like, you know how there's some things you can like have on your hand, like a snake or something, and like, or like a moth or a frog, and it can't really do anything it's got its body on your hand, and it's freaky, but it can't actually do anything. It's like just a frog, right? It's what could it actually do? Nothing. Yeah. But if you had a starfish on your hand, its mouth is on your hand, and it's probably going to try and digest your hand. That's worst case scenario right there.
That's true. It just takes long enough, longer than it has to do that.
Right.
Let's talk about their size. Welcome to the Beloved, the Measure Up segment. The official part of the show. A part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself singing, or making whatever sound a starfish makes. But you have to do it in the words "measure up." Send it into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We do have a new measure up intro this week.
Nice. Break the streak.
Would you like to do the honors and read this email?
I will try.
From the famed
Nora,
up in French Canada, where things are so different and yet so similar.
Where things are so French. I took a semester of French in college, which was at this point like 12 years ago. So, all right. All right, so Nora says, "Gentlemen, I need someone to know that I'm hilarious, despite what my kids say." You're hilarious, Nora. I don't even need to read the rest of this to reinforce you there. My dog gets real worked up and barks when I put shoes on. It's real loud. I usually tell her, "C'est assez."
Yeah.
"C'est assez."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I concur with that based on the rest of the email.
Which is French for "that's enough," to try and get her to stop. Now, a French pronunciation thing you should know is that if a word ends on a silent letter and the next word starts with a vowel, you usually pronounce the silent letter and link it to the vowel. This is what absolutely threw me with French. If someone said something, I could understand what they were saying. But if I read it, I was like, I have no idea how to pronounce what I just read. There's way too many letters here, and not enough is being said to match the letters that I'm looking at. So in this case, the word se, or say, I guess she says say, which I don't know, there's some pronunciation stuff here. And then the other word is ase, which, yeah, sounds like setaze, which means that's enough, with how she, what she tells her dog when the dog is barking. And then also of note is that the French word for cetacean is cetacé, which sounds exactly the same as cetacé. So it's cetacean and that's enough are what is it, homonyms in French. So all this to say, I thought it would be hilarious to say baleine or whale instead. And it tickled me so much that I've got my dog trained. When I say whale, she stops barking. My kids say I'm painfully lame, but in fact, I am hilarious. You are, in fact, hilarious. Now you can shout the word whale at your dog, and your dog stops barking. Baleen. Can I do this to my kids? Get them to stop barking.
It's whale. Great because there's so many layers to this. And to an English speaker, it takes some study. But to the kids, it's just like, well, it's just another lame joke. Another mom joke.
Another mom joke in French.
She's also attached a picture of her dog. And
wearing a scarf.
This is a knitted scarf. A strikingly beautiful animal.
Handsome.
Yeah, it's like a it's like a handsome husky, prince of canines. With more or, no, cream color.
Princess. Forgot she's it's a she. Mm-hmm.
It's like a husky with not just black and white. It's like a lot of cream, almost like a coyote, in terms of the color.
But yep, and with those just, like Elijah Wood, just
yeah,
like
striking blue eyes,
bright blue orbs.
Yeah. What a good
this. Love it. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you, Nora. That was great. That looks like a knitted scarf for the dog. Living in the lap of luxury.
That is a pampered pooch.
It is. But without further ado, the listener is part of the show. It sounded the husky? Like... No, it sounded like there's a muffle to it. It sounded like a... like an old timey, like golden age musical in terms of
yeah. The thing that comes right after that is "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling." Yeah.
That was the tuning that she was the tuning note.
Right. Yeah. It's on a gramophone. That came straight off a gramophone. I just need to hear the needle scratch as you said it. Awesome. That was a triple whammy. We got a fun email, we got a picture of a beautiful dog, and yeah, we got a new measure up. I couldn't ask for more.
Well, thank you, Nora, again, putting the team on her back. If only to prove that she is hilarious. Let's talk about the diameter of the crown of thorns starfish, or COTS for short.
Makes sense.
Adults typically range from 25 to 35 centimeters. So the thing about this thing is that the average, like if you grow your entire life, the average is nowhere near the potential because things get eaten. So like the average length of a Florida gator is probably like 5 feet, but they can grow up to be like 8 feet.
It's kind of like the same thing with like average lifespan. Mm-hmm. in antiquity. This is gonna get kind of sad, but when like infant mortality was so high, that really brings the average down. That doesn't mean that like you didn't live past 30. It just meant that like if you made it past infancy, you were probably going to be, you know, an old person. He dies an old person.
Yeah, people think of that as like, oh, the life, the ceiling for life in the Middle Ages
was 35 like or whatever.
35 or 40. But that's not the case at all. That like if you stayed healthy your whole life, you could live to 80. you know, like we do today. But it's just that there's so many things that can kill them that they don't have, like, medical stuff for, and infant mortality.
Just the idea that, like, you could get, like, an infection in your tooth and die from that.
Right.
Before there was toothpaste. Yeah. Or dentists. Or just like that. How did that not happen all the time?
I think they knew about pulling teeth. Like, if you had an infected tooth, they could pull it. Like, from...
I know, but, like, how is your tooth not constantly... I mean, they didn't have high fructose corn syrup. That's why their teeth are fine.
You know, there's... Like, there's certain cultures, apparently, like, if you... Especially from, like, if you come from rural China and you come to the United States, you probably don't brush your teeth as much, and you can get... You just start getting cavities because you're eating low sugar content food most of the time. And here it's like really high sugar content food.
Oh, sure. So good, though. And then when they come here, they're like, oh, this is what we've been missing out on.
Tooth decay.
Yes. Tooth disease. That's right. Gum disease. Anyway. Big starfish.
Yeah. So, the, like, 35 centimeters is the average, but it's the upper end of average. But the ceiling is around 80 centimeters.
What is the centimeters you're talking about?
35 centimeters.
Am I saying that right?
35 centimeters is 13 inches, 13.78 inches. 80 okay, centimeters. That's not that big. 2 inches. Is like 31, almost 3 times
that much.
31 inches.
Yeah, it's like three feet across.
Mm-hmm.
It's a starfish that's a yard across. Yeah, that'll eat your whole face.
Yeah,
so that's the thing that shows up at the end of Prometheus.
So how much of the... Let's talk about their length. 13. Let's go with 13 inches. The upper end of the average. Just bear in mind that they can be 80 centimeters. Which one of these is correct? Is it A, 2.9 crown of thorns starfish go into the diameter of a giant barrel sponge? B, 2.4 Filipino bangkong blades go into the diameter of a crown of thorns starfish? Or C, 3.9 clownfish go into the diameter of a crown of thorns starfish? 3.9 clownfish, 2.5 Filipinos. Knives.
What? The knives. Final answer.
The correct answer is 2.9 crownfish. Crownfish go into the diameter of a giant barrel sponge, which is about a meter. Filipino bangkong blade is a short sword used by coastal communities in the Philippines, according to ethnographic records. Let's talk about their weight. 18 ounces or 510 grams is the average, but again, they could be up to several pounds because they can grow to like a yard long.
Monstrous size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, which one of these is correct? A, 5.1 Indonesian coral necklaces go into the weight of a crown of thorns starfish. B, 2.7 sea cucumbers go into the weight of a cots. Or C, 3.9 cots go into the weight of an aboriginal woomera. An aboriginal woomera is a wooden spear thrower. What? Huh. It's a wooden spear thrower? A person or a device?
No, they have the...
Oh, yes.
I want to say the Cheyenne had something like that.
It is like that. It's like a slingshot.
The tribes in northern New Mexico. Yeah, it's like a V on a stick, and you attach the spear to it, and then you can fling it with like a whipping motion, and it goes a lot faster than if you just threw it
this
like a javelin.
This looks like kind of like a concave cricket bat. It's so unique. That's such an interesting... Like, is... There's slingshots and there's swords. Everyone's got spears in their cultures, but a few cultures have this. It's very unique.
A few cultures figured out that rotational energy really helps spears get some speed. A lot more than just chucking it. Yeah. Although bows and arrows, it's tough to beat bows and arrows.
A coral necklace from Indonesia tradition is a crafted reef from reef material in Bali.
I've been thinking a lot about that spear throw, so we're going to go with that one.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Kind of wish it was that one. That one's the one that I think is the coolest. But no, it is 5.1 Indonesian coral necklaces. Get one to the
dadgum. Wrong again.
I should round these out. Let's make it just kind of... Let's make it easier.
Round them out. I mean, it's as easy as it could possibly be. I have a 33.33% chance of getting it right. So
that's true. Would you like to hear some fast facts before getting to the biggest fact of all time for this creature?
Yes.
They're found in the Indo-Pacific from the Red Sea. It's always from the Red Sea, huh? To East Africa, and all the way to the Pacific Islands, including Australia, Southeast Asia, and parts of the Indian Ocean. If they're going to be anywhere, you're going to find them in coral reef environments, particularly in shallow waters. It's 30 meters, which is like, I believe, down to the max where you could see color. Coral is abundant, and they like to live among it. But they can live at depths of up to 200 meters. They thrive in warm waters with high coral cover, often hiding in crevasses during the day and feeding at night. So light is a part of their life cycle. So they're definitely like prefer the 30 meters area. These starfish are coral larvae, primarily feeding on soft tissue polyps of hard corals, such as branching and table corals. Interesting. And it extrudes its stomach over the coral to digest the polyps externally, leaving behind a white dead coral skeleton. And a single cots can consume up to 6 square meters of coral per day. Why are you eating the beautiful stuff? You're eating the decorations. Eat the ugly stuff.
Yeah, drink the Diet Pepsi at the bottom. The bottom of the thing. Why are you having the beautiful stuff? I mean, that's why these things are so unnerving. Can you imagine if these were on land? And it's just like, if you didn't lock your door or didn't, like, you left your window open, you would just have a 3-foot starfish on your chest, like spitting out its stomach onto you in order to digest your solar plexus. Like,
And don't touch it. During population outbreaks, cots can devastate a reef, reducing coral cover significantly and disrupting reef ecosystems. What if your whole life you're just eating your house? And you gotta try to not eat so much house that you don't have a house to live in.
Yeah. That's like the guy who ordered a chocolate palace from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
In the Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah, but then again, what if the cots would probably counter with, yeah, well, you probably would love living in your own food. And you're just like, literally, your house is your food is your house. It's continuously growing as long as the ecosystem's healthy.
But also, it doesn't destroy its house. It clears the food. It still like has crevices to spend its time in. They're just bleached coral, yeah. And it's going to have to move on to another location. So if your house was made of chocolate, and when you if your house was coated in chocolate, There we go. Then you could eat the chocolate and you'd still have a house. That works.
Yeah.
Instead of your house being made of chocolate, because then you don't want to be eating your infrastructure. People who live in chocolate houses shouldn't eat chocolate.
I've heard it a thousand times. Cots are broadcast spawners, which means gross. They release eggs and sperm into the water column, and a single female can produce 60 to 100 million eggs per spawning season. It's kind of the Wi-Fi of reproduction.
You just kind of send your signal out there and hope it gets picked up?
Mm-hmm. Or like what flowers do. No, flowers don't do that.
No, yeah, flowers have pollinators. It's like what a lot of like fish do.
The spawning season typically occurs in the summer months, which is in the southern hemisphere, December to February, like weirdos, when water temperatures are warm, around 26 to 28 degrees Celsius, as they would say. Eggs develop into planktonic larvae, which drift for 10 to 30 days before settling on reefs, and metamorphosing into juvenile starfish. Juveniles grow rapidly, reaching maturity in about 2 years. And adults can live up to 8 years. An 8-year-old yard star.
It's big, it's old, it's hungry.
It remembers.
That's the one thing it doesn't do. I don't know what's worse, like just like a mindless Roomba that could find itself on your chest, or a malicious creature, probably that one.
It's like have you heard the snail thing? Like, what if you lived forever, but there was a snail hunting you, always coming toward you?
Like an It Follows.
And if it touches you, you die.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you lived on a boat, you'd be fine.
Yeah, intention is definitely scarier.
Yeah, the fact that if you think everything's fine, then you let your guard down for a few years, and then suddenly you're starfish food.
Place, yeah. And it attacks at night.
All right, you ready for the major fact?
That's great. Yeah.
All right. This one's called You Need to Get More Protein in Your Coral Diet. This is protein craze these days. This protein cereal going from a whopping 5 grams of protein to a whole 8 grams of protein for twice the cost. Thank goodness. But yeah, the crown of thorns starfish uses protein too. Researchers have seen an interesting phenomenon where one starfish will find a patch of coral, and then suddenly there are dozens of starfish there. Not suddenly. They're not very fast, but dozens of starfish will converge on the location. And the researchers are like, huh. They have no way of communicating. They don't like flash colors at each other. They don't have complicated eyes to even see those colors. They don't make any sounds. How are they communicating to each other to come to this location and eat all the coral? And they found that they use proteins to communicate. They release these chemical signals into the water, and they coordinate behaviors, which include spawning, but also these feeding frenzies that they noticed. Proteins act like molecular memos, and they trigger the nearby starfish to synchronize their reproductive cycles, and which ensures a mass spawning event and ensures greater success rates for spawning. And then the chemical signaling also helps them locate each other in the ocean, like sending a text to your motorcycle gang to rally and go, go to Ant Island and eat all their food. The proteins can signal distress or attract others to food sources. And this can turn a single starfish's coral meal into just an absolute massacre for coral, at least. This communication method solves the problem of coordinating across large distances in murky or turbulent waters where visual cues would otherwise fail, even if they had the sensory organs to be able to use to use visual cues. And by releasing these specific proteins, they can also they specifically communicate with other Crown of Thorns starfish. So it's like a very finely tuned protein mixture that does not affect other starfish or other animals, or at least doesn't signal them to come to that spot. And this really amplifies the amount of destruction and havoc they can wreak on a coral reef ecosystem. As obviously, as you said, one starfish can eat, what did you say, 6 square meters of coral in a day. They can take out acres of coral reef in less than a month, which seems like a long time. But I mean, the coral's not able to leave. It's not like a if you're a coral and there's a 20 of these starfish nearby, your days are numbered. And this communication that they do can be affected by things like water temperature, changes in the currents, and that can affect how far and how fast these protein signals travel. And overuse of this chemical can lead to overpopulation in certain areas and make it unsustainable. Make their hunting habits unsustainable. So when done correctly, they can eat most of a coral, a bunch of coral in an area, and then come back later and the coral will repopulate. But when these feeding frenzies happen too often, it just kills the coral. Like, it bleaches it all. So everybody's blaming, snorkelers and divers for bleaching the Great Barrier Reef, but I bet it's these guys.
It's all these guys.
It's all these guys. I mean, this is their job. Snorkelers do it by accident. And there's like what, 100 million eggs? How many of these starfish are there?
Coral is notoriously sensitive.
Yeah, so that's how they found out that and we've already talked about starfish in the past, but just like other starfish, again, these are unthinking, I can't even say bugs are like moving plants. Each one of their arms has its own central nervous system, to where if you ripped off an arm, it would grow another arm, but that arm would grow another starfish. It's nuts. You could make two starfish by ripping them not completely in half, but taking off an arm. It is absolutely incredible, as long as part of the, I believe it's called the disc, which is the part in the center, is retained with the arm, then it can regrow the disc and, a bunch more arms, and then suddenly you have another starfish. These guys are insane, and I'm glad that they cannot think and follow us. Or swim, for that matter. I'm glad they're stuck at the bottom. I don't have to go there.
I'm feeling blessed that I cannot be thought about by this starfish.
I'm so happy that I do not enter the starfish's thoughts. I'm so happy that nothing enters the starfish's thoughts. Bam. Or sea star. Starfish is a misnomer.
True.
That's all I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, this has been kind of a long one. For you out there in podcast, yeah, that was the Crown of Thorns starfish. So, surf the reefs, eat some coral, and use protein signals to coordinate all your gym bros to converge on a feast, a protein feast, like the Crown of Thorns starfish here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
pay tax on any Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
External stomach eating is disgusting.